Welcome back. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. Refugees from Syria and other countries poured into Greece in 2015, and when they did, outside money to help and house those refugees did as well. Hundreds of millions of dollars meant to build housing, provide food, secure borders, it all came in, and it's become the most expensive humanitarian response in history. Meanwhile, the news organization Refugees Deeply has traced $803 million that came into Greece from outside organizations and governments. They've also uncovered a stunning figure. Up to 70% of that money appears to have been wasted. Daniel Howden is a senior editor at Refugees Deeply, and he led the reporting for this investigation. And corruption doesn't seem to be the main problem here. Instead, it's what Howden calls criminal mismanagement, where a lot of refugees suffered as a result.
What we've really seen here is enormous amounts of waste. We're talking about a situation in which in some camps you had 40 different non-governmental organizations all running projects simultaneously, three or four different authorities, so the police, the army, the Ministry of Migration officials, the UN, all simultaneously supposedly in charge of camps. So you've seen enormous duplication and then incredible delays in making relatively simple decisions about how to coordinate and which camps should be prioritized, what should happen at what site and when it should happen.
And does that mean that no one in the Greek government or at one of these organizations or several of these organizations was really in charge? Was there no point person, no minister, no executive who was the point of contact or the final say?
When this happened in Greece, Greece is a sovereign country. It's a European Union member. It has ministries and functions and officials. It's a place with, 4G phone networks, etc. The government was under considerable strain. We hadn't seen these kinds of people flows like we were seeing in June of 2015 onwards. They hadn't been seen before in Europe. So you had a European government, but under acute stress. And then you had big agencies like the UN High Commissioner for Refugees and like the European Union's ECHO, which is its humanitarian operations wing, operating for the first time in a European setting. So it was really hard to work out who was in charge. There was incredible strain on the institutions that were there. And while all of this mess kind of worked itself out and they figured out who was in charge, that period was significantly longer than it needed to be. So it's not fair to say that nobody was in charge. It's fair to say, as many refugees said to me from camps all across the country, was they had been unable to work out exactly who was in charge any one time. It was incredibly unclear who to talk to. Was it the volunteers who'd come over in record numbers to help out in Greece? Was it the foreign NGOs who were here in very large numbers? Was it the police? Was it the government? Was it the UN? So it really was a case of too many agencies trying to take charge and to act all in the same space.
Can you give some examples of conditions in camps or places where this waste affected the lives of refugees directly?
The investigation that we had began with a 17-year-old Syrian girl called Widad Madrati. I chose to highlight Widad's case because she comes from Aleppo in Syria. There's been a lot of arguments going back and forth. There's a lot of debate about who is a refugee, who is not a refugee. Given the situation in Aleppo, Widad and her family clearly qualify by almost anybody's terms as refugees. In the short time that they were in Greece, arriving in March of 2015, they saw a litany of the worst conditions that one can imagine. I mean, they had arrived in Europe thinking that they'd gotten to safety. The first place that they found themselves is the island of Lesvos in the eastern Aegean. There at the camp in Moria, just the simple registration process where they have to be identified and get the paperwork that allows them to then move on to the Greek mainland. That's been a place where there've been fires, riots, and most recently, three deaths where during the freezing conditions over the winter, people were left out exposed in tents and some of those people died after burning plastics to try and keep warm. Now, moving on from there, they went to the docks in Piraeus, where there was complete chaos. The state was almost completely absent. Then they traveled north trying to get out just as the borders closed and found themselves in a chaotic open encampment at a place called Idomeni, which is basically just a village close to the border into the Balkans. The borders were closed and they were at Idomeni for a little over 2 months. In a relatively short period of time, 7 to 8 months, what they encountered in Greece was a total lack of information, coordination. They had no idea. They were shifted from pillar to post. They were left in awful circumstances, and yet constantly their questions about what was going to happen to them next, what did they need to do. I'm happy to say that Widad and her family today are in Athens and are awaiting transfer over to France. But in such a short space of time, a family that anybody could see are refugees and do qualify for refuge in Europe got to see the worst of what Europe has to offer in terms of a refugee response.
Daniel Howden, before we let you go, you know, your team writes in this story a popular saying in Greece that they have great laws and lousy governance. Maybe that was at play here. But a crisis is a crisis. The definition is that problems pop up that you didn't expect. Are there any reforms underway here or any substantive changes that will either improve the situation now for refugees as this crisis continues or make this less likely in the future?
What we have seen and what we continue to see is a European approach to this issue that prioritizes stopping people from coming. Now, what we discovered during our investigation was that there were figures at the very highest levels within Europe who, if not happy to see this situation, were certainly found that having a huge mess in Greece suited their ultimate political objective, which was to slow and deter more people from coming this way.
Some incompetence, duplication, certainly waste, and signs of intentional and maybe cynical efforts to keep people from coming to Europe through Greece in the first place. An investigation from Refugees Deeply. Daniel Howden is senior editor there. Daniel Howden, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Nice to talk to you, Todd.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.